7. As we focus on the family, I want to focus on the thought to make a difference, that our families will make a difference. My prayer is that God will use us to make a difference, because there's part of our country, even around the world, that is in great distress. How many know that? And everything's not peachy creamy, but there are some people that we know, loved ones that we know, that are in great distress. Let me just put this right here. Great distress. But there is a remnant, that even now, there's not a lot of us here, but there's a small group of us, even in the body of Christ, there's a remnant that God is calling, that is an army that is raising up to break every chain. We have generational pain. How many know that? There's generational pain. There's generations of people who have been left behind. Are y'all still with me? Listen, I don't need a whole lot of people to preach. Somebody say amen. Come on, all I need is God and with an assignment. Is that all right? So God is saying there's a remnant of people, and that I have been preaching for the last couple of weeks on Nehemiah, and God is showing me, and God is teaching us how God used Nehemiah to make a difference. So some of you are going to say, what does this have to do with the family? God is calling us to family to make a difference. Are you hearing me? You know, the Bible says much is given, much is required, much is expected. And so God has poured into you great men, great women of God who have invested into you. So what do we do with all this great teaching? Somebody say amen. Right? So God has said we're responsible for this great teaching that you're hearing at this conference. Nehemiah, I want you to hear this. Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, is a blueprint. It's a blueprint for the church. It's a blueprint for our families, so that generations would understand what it takes to make a difference, so that our children's children would understand our purpose and our calling. Are y'all still with me? You know, I've been here before, so I know how to talk to y'all. Y'all know that, right? So what I want to do for this afternoon, I just want to highlight from the book of Nehemiah some lessons to prepare us for prayer. Here's number one for those who are taking notes. Number one is, first, we must recognize that there is a cause, that there are communities right here in America that is in much despair. There's violence and poverty. And now, I was just up here about a week ago, and I saw a video about human trafficking, and how human trafficking is happening around the world. We have a lot of issues that we must grapple with, and God is calling us to make a difference. Are you with me now? Number two, if we're going to make a difference, we must have a servant's heart. We're going to have a servant's heart, full of compassion, full of purpose, full of desire and drive. And Nehemiah, he didn't just pray and fast, but he repented. If you look at the book, I don't have time to really go through the story of Nehemiah in this section. But if you look at it, I left off at verse 4. But if you look at verse 5, when he begins to pray, he begins to repent for the sins of his people. The sins of a people who he also repented for his own sin. See, I want you to hear this. Sometimes our sin is that we just don't care. Are you listening to me? We just don't care what's going on. We don't care. Just leave me out of it. I don't know about you. In my community, with my neighbors, I really don't know my neighbors. I just kind of wave at them, you know, just hi, you know. And usually we don't get involved unless there's something on our block, on our street, and we hear that there's a crime wave. Somebody's breaking into the houses where you live. Are y'all still with me? All of a sudden, you want to know who your neighbor is. Right, you want to find out if they're breaking into your house, in their house. Am I right about it? Come on, raise your hand if I'm on target. Come on, all right? So usually just wave, but we usually don't get involved until it happens on our block, until it happens to our children. Are you listening to me? Then all of a sudden, we want to have what we call a neighborhood watch. You heard of that before, right? Stay with me. We just don't want to know. Just leave me out of it. Number three, if you look at the book of Nehemiah, he says that we must have favor. You'll see the favor of God and favor with men. We must have God's hand on us. Come on, as a family, we're here because we want God's hand on us. Am I right about it? Come on, let God see your hand. It's not that important that I see your hand. God wants to see your hand. Are you still with me? We want God's favor on us. Number four, I'm just really condensing this because I really want to pray with you. It will take all of us working together for a common cause. And in the text, it says, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Number five, this is what I want you to see. Number five, the people were positioned by their families. In Nehemiah, as they begin the work, you will see that Nehemiah positioned them by their families. I'm going to come back to that. And you just heard John play the trumpet. In, I think it's chapter 5, it says, whenever you hear the trumpet, rally us here. It says, rally us. When you hear the trumpet sound, rally us together. That's what this conference is about. The conference is about God is blowing a trumpet. He's rallying the church and said, come. And the text says, our God will fight for us. I am convinced that God is blowing the trumpet. I'm here because God sent me here. He put it on Pastor's heart. Last week, he said, Pastor Kenny, could you come? God is sending me to all different kinds of churches and cultures because he's sounding the alarm, and he's saying it is time for the body of Christ, the families of God, to come together. How many believe that? Come on. Put your hands together and say, God, I believe that. I believe that. That I'm convinced that God is blowing the trumpet and that he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, will know that God is calling his church. He's calling his church to make a difference. On this journey of making a difference, how many know you get weary and you get tired? Some people couldn't make it back after lunch because they got weary. Somebody say amen. That was some good food. Somebody say amen. But you get tired, not just from ministry, but you get tired when you see people in bondage. When you hear people taking advantage of one another, you can get tired. You can find these lessons. I don't have time to go into it right now, but if you can find these lessons in Jeremiah chapter 5, you ought to take time to read it. You will see, even in Nehemiah's time, even before that, if you look at chapter 5, verse 8, you will see human trafficking. It's nothing new, but now we hear it more today. You hear more about human trafficking. They even told me that, especially in America, you have business people, CEOs, that go from America, and they're the number one clients in other parts of the country for sex trafficking. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? And we as a church cannot bury our head under the sand like we don't know, like nothing going on, because everything's wonderful in our camp. Are you with me today? And whilst everything's wonderful in our camp, we don't do anything until it affects our camp. Are you still with me today? I'm here as a warning to the family. Lord have mercy. I feel like I'm back home preaching to y'all. Can you tell I feel all right? If you look at the text, nothing has changed. If you look at the text, and I believe it's in chapter 5, this is what it says. It was the leaders. It was elders and public officials and governors keeping the people down, laying a burden on the people. And so if you look at it, people were already in debt. They're already suffering, and then public officials, different people, were adding another layer of burden on the people. Are you still with me? I'm trying to prepare the family because I want you to see what is happening. But Nehemiah, he was elevated in authority, and God is preparing you for elevation, for authority. Nehemiah became a governor. Are y'all listening to me? And our children, we have to raise up our children to make a difference in every arena, come on, so that as Christians, so that we can make a difference. Are y'all still with me? Well, I might get in trouble with this, Pastor Samuel Paul, but I'm going to say it. Is okay? It is easier to stay with your own kind. Lord, y'all got quiet just like, huh? We know each other. We know our culture. Come on, somebody. We eat together. Come on, somebody. I had my grandson with me, and you know, he saw how you eat, you know, with your hands like that, and he was going like, Grandpa, please, let me do it. It was different for him. You know, he was having a good time. He was just going, yeah, he was getting down. He was. And so what God is doing is, He wants to expose us. We can't stay hidden because what you have is a treasure. My God. Are y'all listening to me? And God is going to use you, not just, I love your camp because you have to minister to the family and prepare them to reach other cultures. Come on, are you still with me? Are y'all still with me? It's easier for me to stay in the African-American community. But God said, Kenny, I've called you to the nations. My God. And He's calling your children to the nations. Why? To make a difference. Turn to somebody and say, to make a difference. To make a difference, to make a difference. Nehemiah says, I'm going to build. Nehemiah says he's going to build a wall. And I'm so glad about the message earlier that talked about stones. Because to build a wall back then, they used stones. And Nehemiah said the stones are breaking down. Wall of love, a wall of peace. God is calling you to build a wall. A wall that will make a difference. Now, let me give you just two more points. Number seven, I give you about six. Let me give you number seven. We must have leaders of integrity. We must have leaders who will restore. We must have leaders who will be honest and truthful, who will do good for the people. And it begins in the home. Come on, we got to be trustworthy in the home. Come on, we have to be transparent in the home. They need to see it first in our homes. Are you still with me? We have to build leadership within the home. Are you still with me now? God is saying, listen, I'm calling you to build a home, to build a culture, and it begins of leadership, and it begins in our homes. My God. Why am I doing this? Because Satan is attacking the family. In the African-American community, I want you to hear this, 70% of the fathers are not in the home. 70%. Well, you say, hey, I'm not African American. But let me tell you something. Satan is after all our families. He's after your children. And what am I saying? We can't keep our children in a bubble. My God. You'd be surprised what your children know. Oh, you're listening to me. I'm telling you, your nice little child, you'd be surprised at what they know because they can't just stay in our culture. Are y'all listening to me? Now they will, remember you talk about faces? The children will give us the face. Are y'all listening to me? The children, our children will give us the face that they know that they're supposed to give you. Am I right about it? I got it. Let me close this. As we build the family, I want you to hear this. There will always be a conspiracy to distract you from finishing your assignment. You know why you're here this weekend? For your assignment. God is investing and pouring into you for a purpose. It's not just for you to feel good. Come on. I mean, as I sat here and listened to the preacher and the teacher, I'm going like, this is meat. This is not milk. This is meat. And when God gives you meat, he gives it to people who are full age. And he gives it to you for a purpose. Are you still with me? Because he wants you to make a difference. My God. My God. Let me just close. I just want to walk you through Nehemiah chapter 6. Would that be okay? Let me just close with that. Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to try to walk you through it real fast. Nehemiah chapter 6. And then I want to pray for you for this conference. Nehemiah, I started verse 1. You got to read verse 2, 3, 4. Pick up 5. And I'm taking you to 6. Because I want to prepare you for what's going to come. Because there's going to be attack against the family. Here it is. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies, our enemies, there are enemies against our soul. Our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gate. So he's building the wall, he's rebuilt, he's almost finished, but the entranceways have not been closed. The gate has not been finished. That Sanballat, which is a spirit, not just a person, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messages to him saying, this is what I want you to see. Look at it later. It's Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. This is what I want you to hear. He says, I am doing a great work. Pastor Paul, this is a great work. You are doing a great work. Those of you who are participating, those of you who are contributing, all that's going on behind the scene, God wants you to know that you're doing a great work. That's what he says, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why should we stop this? Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? See, Satan wants your, I'm getting ahead of myself. Satan wants your mind to go down. He wants to distract your mind and take your mind down. Are you still with me? Let me keep reading. Look at this. Verse 4. But they sent me this message 4 times. How many times? 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Why is this important? I want you to see why. Because the enemy keeps coming again and again and again. Are y'all listening to me? The enemy is not going to stop because you came to this conference. Are you listening to me? This is a mountaintop experience, but you can't stay on the mountain. Look at Jesus. He taught from the mountain, and from Matthew chapter 5, when he started teaching from the Beatitudes, and it shows how he was teaching from the mountain. But chapter 8, you got to follow that whole story to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, he comes down from the mountain to do ministry. So God is saying, listen, I'm gathering you here for a purpose. This is a mountaintop experience, but you can't stay on this campground. You got to go back. Are you listening to me? To do ministry. Because God is calling you to make a difference. How many believe that? If you believe that, give the Lord a clap offering. Come on. Only reason I'm telling you to clap to keep you awake. Somebody say amen. The enemy keeps coming. That's what I want you to hear. The enemy keeps coming again and again. Even when Satan attacked Jesus when he was fasting 40 days, the Bible says that he left Jesus alone until an opportune time. That means I'm coming back to attack him again. He's trying to stop your purpose in life. Verse 3 says, why should I stop the work and leave it and go down to you? What is he saying? As I talk to you, to the leaders and the families, you have to stay focused. You have to stay focused. Don't take your mind back to the level of those who want to destroy you. Can we go deeper? Come on, let's go look at verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 5. Look at, listen. Look at verse 5. This is what it says. Then Sanballat, he'd been coming four times. And in verse 5, it says, Sanballat sent his servant to me as before. Look at this. The fifth time. Seemed like he would have quit the fourth time. But at the fifth time, he comes again. But this time, he comes with an open letter. The letter is open in his hand. And it was written. It was reported among the nations. Where? Among the nations. Among the nations and Geshem, saying that you and the Jews plan to rebel. According to these rumors. Remember, rumors. These rumors, you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, let us consult together. So you got to watch out for the setup, because God is giving you a purpose, and Satan wants to take you down from your purpose, which sounds good, which is conspiracy. Verse 8. Then I sent to him, saying, no such thing as you say are being done. But look at this. But you invent them in your very heart. And this is what it says, for they all were trying to make us, I want you to hear this, because we're dealing with fear. Are y'all listening to me? We're dealing with fear. Even for our children's children. Come on now. We're afraid to give them too much room. Am I the only one? I'm looking for my grandson right now. I don't know where he's at. He's gone. That's okay. He's fine. But what I'm saying is we want to keep a leash on them. Why? Because we want to protect them. Does that make sense? And so you'll see this word over and over again about fear. This is what it says. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work. And will not be done. Therefore, oh God, strengthen. You want to know how to pray for your family, how to pray when you feel fear? Here's this what he says. Oh God, strengthen my hand. Oh God, strengthen my hand. I'm going to stop right there. There's more to it. The enemy keeps coming again and again. Here we see conspiracy, false accusations, slander, trying to bring you fear in you. And God is saying, listen, for the church, Nehemiah is a blueprint for us. Nehemiah is a blueprint for our families. Because we will come under attack. Some of you will say, is that my child? Let me just, I just got to read. Can I just read you this last part? I was going to skip it, but I just feel the Lord said, don't skip it. Because there's some meat in here. And it has to deal with even your title, the temple of God. It's Nehemiah chapter 6, and I'm picking up verse 10. And I'm just going to read it out. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, who said, let us meet together, where? In the house of God, within the temple. Do y'all see that? Within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Who is there such as I who will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in, because it's a trick from the enemy that he wants to even come into the temple. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not just doing this for just to be doing this. It's a warning to us. Look at verse 11. I think it's verse 12. This is what he says. He says, I perceive that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounces this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sambalat had hired him. Do y'all see that? This is what he says. For this reason, he was hired that I what? That I may should be afraid and act the way that way and sin so that they might have a cause, an evil report, that they might reproach me so that I would be in disgrace. So that I would be embarrassed. God is preparing the church. It's a blueprint. My God, remember Tobiah and Sambalat according to these works, and the prophetess Neadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. I'm going to tie it all together. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 20th day of Elul in 52 days. Look at verse 16. And it happened, when our enemies heard it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. You know, I believe God is setting you up with this conference here because you're building a wall. It's a great work. I just want to close with this. Here is our warning. We have to watch out, even in the church. The enemy will send in false prophets and prophetess who not only wants to put fear in us, but wants to set us up to sin like them, so that they would have something on you to take you down from the wall. You are building something here. And God is saying, just stay with Jesus. Here it is. It's in Philippians chapter 1. I'm doing the Old Testament. Philippians 1, 6. That's what it says. Being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The wall that is building, that you are building, is not just helping others. My brother was saying, it's not just the brick and mortar. The wall that is being built is in you, and it's a great work in you. God is building a great work in us. Do you believe that? God is building. That's why God is sending these preachers, sending these teachers, because he's investing in you. He is imparting in you because God said, this is a great work and I'm going to finish it. God is making a difference in you. Just when I thought that there was nothing left for me to do in my life, Jesus says, listen, it's in Jeremiah. This is what it says. I want to show you something. Great and mighty things which you do not know of. It's in Jeremiah. God is telling you, you haven't seen anything yet, but it's my remnant. God is saying, don't worry about who's not here. I called you here. And this is my assignment. I want to make a difference today. I come here today to make a difference. I believe God has gathered us here to prepare for something greater. Not only in society, but in our hearts. Are you here today? You want to do a great work? Just raise your hand. Let God see you. God, I'm here because I want to do a great work. I want to make a difference. Now, I want you to get this into your spirit, and then I'm done. Here I am, Lord. Do a great work in me. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to look to heaven. Come on, everybody, let's just stand together. And let's just shake off everything, every distraction. And would you look, just lift your head to heaven. Is this you? Lord, here I am. Do a great work in me. I want my family to make a difference. Lord, here I am. I present to you my family. Lord, do a great work in me. Lord, do a great work in my children, in my children's children. I heard Superintendent David Harvey said, even for his children who are kids, he's praying for their spouses. He's praying for his children's children. He's praying for his children's wife and husband. Because we want to make a difference. My God. So here's my assignment. Everyone that's here that's saying, Lord, do a great work in me. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go just another step. I want all that believe that God, that you want God to do a great work, just to stand right here. If you really mean it, come on, God, that's me. Lord, do a great work in me. I want you to line right real fast, and I'm done. My assignment is done.